Studio 360.
Woodstock was a life-changing experience for a lot of people. But next, we have the story of a mother and daughter whose lives were changed by a different Woodstock. The little yellow bird who was Snoopy's sidekick.
Little birdie!
That bird had been appearing in Charles Schulz's comic strip Peanuts since the mid-60s, but never had a name until 1970, just after the concert film came out, when Charles Schulz decided to start calling his bird Woodstock. Geraldine Dupuy discovered Peanuts as a kid growing up in Panama.
Well, I was born in Panama, Panama City. I'm an only child, and my mother was a fanatic, and so she would litter my room with all of the memorabilia.
Here I am. I'm Victoria Dupuy. I'm Geraldine's mother. We have been fans of Snoopy for a very long time. When I was, 14, going to 15, the new girl came to our class. This girl called Alice. She came from a home in the Canal Zone. That was a territory that belonged to the Americans. And she was the cutest person because she didn't have many words. But when she smiled or she laughed, it was like the sun coming out. One day she gave me one Snoopy book, one Charlie Brown Snoopy book. Just like that, she gave it to me. And I was so... How do you say? I enjoyed so much. It made me really, really laugh loud. I was hooked. So when Geraldine was born, of course, you know, I would buy everything for her, all the pajamas, all the t-shirts, the lunchbox. She was bombarded with the old Snoopy things because I was such a fanatic and I wanted her to appreciate it. And then I think her first words was Snoopy.
I think she's like embellishing a little bit. I'm quite sure she told me that my first word was agua, which is water in Spanish, but I'll accept that. I definitely sort of recall like going through my mother's old copies, the really battered dog-eared copies that she had.
And through Snoopy, we learn lots more about American life. You know, the holidays, the Halloween, and the Great Pumpkin, and Thanksgiving, and the, of course, Christmas.
The idea of having a fall where the leaves fell at such a capacity that you had to rake them, and the idea of there being a winter where there was snow is just inconceivable, because Panama, being so close to the equator, is just constantly on the same sort of level.
You know, the snow when they had, and the skating, you know, when they were in ice skating.
Oh, ice skating on a lake. We moved from Panama City to London and the UK because my father was transferred there. Like, he's a lawyer, so he was sent over there to open an office.
Then I said, my God, I have the opportunity to go to London and then to learn English. And also I thought of Geraldine, that, you know, what an opportunity for her.
Hey, Chuck, how about this? We're in England. Did you ever think you'd be in England, Chuck?
But to be sort of suddenly thrust into school in a new language... It was just, I do remember being kind of generally isolated the first few years that we were there, and also the presence of Snoopy sort of being a constant and always just sort of being in the background.
And also the English are, you know, they are very good people, but they are very distant, you know, a bit on the cold side. And sometimes we couldn't find Snoopy books, the new ones, in the UK.
We would basically have to resort to the layover in Miami when we would fly back to Panama.
We had to go to the bookshop to get books for her to read in the plane. Because if she didn't have a book, she would be miserable.
We would stop after going through transit, go to the mall, get in a cab, and like tear through Walden Books and sort of buy up every Snoopy anthology that we could possibly find.
I mean, it was a very happy moment, running, you know, in between flights.
We would just make a beeline to Waldenbooks. That was my priority. And then the food court, where we would have a corn dog. Well, that's what I would have.
I'm telling you that even now that, you know, the other day, I took a Snoopy book and, you know, I opened it. And then the first thing, you know, the second page, I was laughing already.
And Woodstock, you know, Woodstock's just hilarious. He's like the straight man. I can definitely see how Snoopy and Woodstock would be a stand-in for my mother and myself.
Because they were very happy together. They shared everything. And Snoopy was like the guide for Woodstock.
Of course she would take Snoopy for herself. Yes. No, definitely. When you move somewhere with somebody and there's nobody else around, you know, if my dad's working, it's just my mother and I, when I was little, in a country where she was learning the language, the relationship transcends that of mother and daughter. It really becomes one of companion. And I think in many ways, Snoopy and Woodstock are sort of those companions to each other.
When she left home to go to university, I always tell my friends that it was like she flew away.
This probably epitomizes my relationship with my mother. Snoopy receives another letter from Woodstock, and he says, "Ah, another letter from Woodstock, who's at Eagle Camp. Dear friend of friends, today we heard a special lecture by a caterpillar who had crawled all the way across a freeway without getting run over. It was a very exciting adventure. He had all of us sitting on the edge of our branches. Ha ha." And Snoopy looks up, he's like, "That Woodstock." It's just hit the face, he's cracking a little smile, and I can just imagine my mother receiving a letter like this, or an email like this from me at college. And just being like, "Oh, that Jerry."
Exactly. She is Woodstock. Yeah.
Derek John produced our story in 2007. Is there some cartoon or symphony or building or short story or whatever that changed your life like that? Tell us about it at incoming@studio360.org, and we might put your story on the show.